2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord. As far as we know, Paul never married and never had any children of his own, at least none that we ever hear about. But here he is writing a letter to Timothy, addressing him as my dear son or my dear child, depending on what translation you're reading. Paul is in prison as he writes to Timothy, waiting for a judgment to be pronounced on him. He faces the real possibility of death, but he also knows God's power firsthand. He doesn't know what will happen to him, but he goes on writing letters and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul writes to his spiritual son, reminding him of the spiritual legacy that has been entrusted to him to guard and to pass on himself. A pastor friend of mine went a few years ago on a trip through the Mediterranean region that followed in the footsteps of Paul. And she said one of the things that struck her the most was the great distances that Paul had to travel to get to the many different cities that he preached in and started churches in, and at a time when it is not as easy to travel as it is now. That is part of the reason that Paul wrote as many letters as he did. He couldn't be at all the congregations on a given Sunday. So he trained up leaders for the churches where he was, and then when he moved on, he would write letters to them, giving them God's instructions for them, correcting problems that he heard about, and echoing the message of the gospel. Timothy was probably one of the leaders that Paul had trained up to care for the church. But he is more than just Paul's student. He is his spiritual son. And Paul writes him a letter full of love, of practical advice, and of encouragement. Paul dearly misses Timothy as he remembers him from a distance, remembering Timothy's tears as he left. Paul longs to see him so that he might be filled with joy and he assures Timothy that he constantly prays for him day and night. Timothy's faith has been passed down from his grandmother and his mother to him. But he is also Paul's spiritual son. Paul charges Timothy to fan into flames the gift that God has given him, that he has received through Paul's laying hands on him. He doesn't want this gift to lay dormant or to die, but to grow more vibrant. What started as an ember, Paul tells Timothy to fan into flame, to allow it to live and burn in him. Paul has passed on a spiritual legacy to this dear son. He tells Timothy that they've not been given a timid spirit, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. And it is God's spirit that enables Paul to continue to preach the gospel, even in the shadows of imprisonment. And it is God's spirit that will enable Timothy also to testify to the good news of the gospel without fear of sharing Paul's faith and without shame in Paul's imprisonment. Instead, he should be boldly ready to give up everything, as Paul is doing, for the sake of God's word being heard. Paul isn't ashamed that he is in prison. But he knows whom he has believed, and he is convinced that Jesus will guard what has been entrusted to him, his very soul. And Paul charges Timothy to also guard what has been entrusted to him through the help of the Holy Spirit. God has given Timothy a gift through Paul. Timothy is being asked to follow in Paul's footsteps, to care for God's church, to spread his word, and to be willing to give up everything so that God's message of good news might be heard. A spiritual legacy has also been entrusted to us. We've inherited the treasure of the gospel. The charge to guard and to pass on the good news of Jesus Christ. The charge to care for his church. Can we do less than Paul and Timothy did? The generations of Christians have been willing to do. Those who have been willing to endure shame, suffering, and death so that we might hear God's good news spoken and his promises shared. This same spiritual legacy has been entrusted to us. The gospel must be guarded and shared at all costs. God does not give us a spirit of timidity either, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. We should not act out of fear, but out of this love and self-discipline, trusting in God's power. We shouldn't be ashamed to testify about the Lord or ashamed of those good souls who have gone before us and given so much that the gospel might be passed on. We've been called by God, not because of anything we've done, but because of his mercy and grace. Today we honor our fathers, our physical and spiritual fathers. Men who have nurtured us in the faith, passing on their spiritual legacy to us. We don't forget those mothers and grandmothers whose faith has been passed on to us as well, but today we especially remember and honor those men who have shown us the good news of Jesus Christ in their lives. And part of the way that we honor and remember them is that we carry on the spiritual legacy that they have left with us. My grandfather used to say that the church is always one generation away from extinction. If God's word is not passed on by us, who will there be to pass it on after us? Much has been deposited in us. Much has been given to us. Much has been entrusted to us to pass on. We need to carry on this legacy. Even if it's been dropped, perhaps it needs to be picked up and passed on. It needs to be carried forward. You don't need a child in order to be a spiritual mother or father. We don't know when Paul first met Timothy, but he's a young man when Paul writes him these letters. Anyone you pass your faith on to can become your child in the faith. Your spiritual child may be your 80-year-old neighbor or your 5-year-old nephew. They are people who need your spiritual guidance, people whom you feed, help, or lay hands on and pray over. It doesn't matter if they gather and worship with you on a Sunday morning. God wants his good news to be evident in the way you live and the words you speak. During this time of COVID, there's new challenges in reaching out and in speaking God's word, and yet we still have opportunities if we look around us to encourage, to show love and care and compassion. A great deal has been entrusted to us. God's word has continued to be passed on generation to generation. Can we do less than those who were willing to risk everything that this faith might be passed on to us? How could we allow God's word to go unheard, his grace unappreciated, his love unfelt? God's grace was given to us before the beginning of time and fully revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality through the gospel. This is the good news that Paul is a herald of, an apostle, a teacher. This is why he is suffering. And this is the good news that we are also supposed to announce, the message that we're supposed to deliver, the lesson that we're supposed to teach. God will not let his word die. As Jesus tells us in Luke 19:40, if his disciples are silent, the very stones will cry out. But God has made us a part of the work that he is doing. And knowing this great treasure has been entrusted to us, how much God has given to us, how much his people have given up so that his good news of salvation might be passed on, how could we be silent? As spiritual children, like Timothy, we are also called to be spiritual parents. Just as God's word was guarded and passed on to us, we must also guard and pass on God's word to others. Who is it who has brought you up in the faith? And who is it that you are passing this legacy on to? So much has been given for us to hear the good news. We are called to continue that work, continue to speak God's word. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for that you do trust us with so much. We thank you for the generations of Christians who have gone before us, who have shown your love, who have spoken your word and lived lives trusting in your power and not allowing themselves to be dominated by fear. We ask, God, that you would help us to continue that legacy, to live out your love and faith and grace in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.